Current Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsouthfoundation.org/Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me. All summer long we sang a song, and then we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind, like painted kites, those days and nights, they went flying by. The world was new beneath a blue umbrella sky. Then softer than a piper man, one day it called to you. To the summer wind. The autumn wind and the winter winds, they have come and gone. Still the days, those lonely days, they go on and on. And guess who saw
Yeah, you know when there's too much music, something's not right. Yeah, Hollings. He's not there. But we're fortunate because things happen for reasons. And joining us now, did you forget about me?
Hey, man, I'm sorry. I didn't forget about you. I had a little bit of a situation here with the baby. My wife is out of the house today.
Uh-oh.
And, I had a bit of a poop tornado that was all over me when you called. I'm sorry, man.
No. Look, we're family friendly, man. We respect that. I thought you were out doing other things, and then I was going to be insulted. I'm like, you know what? Sergeant, man.
Not at all. I wasn't looking at the clock, and I was looking at the diapers. I'm sorry, brother.
Most dangerous rank in the Marine Corps. Just enough rank to get in trouble, not enough common sense to stay out of it. So from Soft Rep, contributing editor, Alex Hollings, former Marine sergeant, joins us. First of all, give us a fatherhood update. What's the latest? How are things going?
Things are going great, man. You know, she just turned 6 weeks on Thursday, and she is stronger than any six-week-old baby is supposed to be. She's
really
holding her head upright. She's doing push-ups. Man, she's like, I mean, I'm going to be in trouble here in just about a month, I think. She's going to be crawling already if I'm not careful.
Nice. So baby's healthy. Mom's doing good. Everything's good?
Yeah, mom's actually at a checkup right now. Yeah, she's going back in. You know, she had a few slight complications. You know, I think that they weren't really uncommon ones, but you know, just stuff that you got to keep following up on. And she seems like she's healing up real well. So we had a few concerns early on, but I can't complain at all, man. Everybody's doing well.
Everybody's doing well. Okay. So 2018's here. And so we wanted to have you on and talk about and ask you, because you're a journalist now, to look into your crystal ball. So we'll do that. And we also want, I also want to talk about it's the new year, so everybody, you know, kind of rededicates themselves to old man physical fitness again. So we need to get your thoughts on. Let's start with physical fitness, so we don't shoehorn that in at the end. So in terms of this is the first time you write about the new year, a new year of fitness. What are we talking about relative to old man fitness?
Well, you know, one of the biggest things that comes up every year in December, January timeframe, especially in the fitness community, is the idea of new year resolutions.
Yes.
You know, everybody wants to wait until January 1st to make a positive change in their life. The same way we tend to want to wait until Monday, you know, to start a new workout regimen and things like that. And although I hate the idea of waiting for a date to start something, it is important that, frustrated as we may be, when you go to your local gym and now there's suddenly 300 people that are waiting in line for the bench, this New Year's resolution thing is a good thing, you know? For every, you know, dozen or so guys that may start going to the gym on January 1st and stop by January 15th, there very well could be some people that this is the beginning of an important change in the way they live their lives, you know? And so I really would like to see more guys, you know, like me, more guys that spend a lot of time in the gym, be a little bit less critical of that influx of new people that come in January, you know, because they're trying to do, they have the same aspirations that we do.
Yes.
They may be starting off a little bit later on. But
why are you, why are you being a hater?
Well, my question is, why are they being a hater?
Why are you know? They're not hating. They're just trying to get what you have.
Absolutely. Yeah, the New Year's resolutioners, I agree completely. However, they have a responsibility of their own as well, you know, and that's been the focal point of my last two columns. The first one was, hey guys, let's be cool to these New Year's resolutioners that show up.
Yeah.
But this last column that came out last night was, okay, New Year's resolutioners, you have some responsibilities of your own, you know? You know, like just a few simple rules. The problem is that when you Google something like that, because a big concern most new workout guys have or girls have is not knowing what the hell they're going to do when they get to the gym, you
right.
know, and worrying about looking cool or being embarrassed, you know, by your ignorance.
Right.
And the first bit of advice I have for you there is don't sweat that stuff. You know, anybody who's at the gym and working out properly is too tired, too sweaty, too miserable to look cool,
first of all. And too insecure about what they're doing to worry about you.
Absolutely. You know, and if you're really worried about that dude who, like, has his hair perfectly coiffed and is doing curls, like making eye contact with himself in the mirror, like, that's not the dude you should be sweating anyway. Like, don't aspire to be that guy, you know? So first and foremost, stop being so self-conscious as you go into the gym. However, there are a few things that you should be aware of. Like, for instance, do not go to the gym to socialize. You know, I mean, there are some guys who've been going to the gym for years, and for them it's a social occasion, and I might not be that kind of guy, but I won't necessarily be critical of that. But if you're brand new to the gym, the last thing that you want to do is spend that 1 hour that you're putting in today just chit-chatting about, you know, season two of Stranger Things.
Right.
You know, like, get to work and get the hell out of my way. You know, that's one of the few things that you can do that will make sure that I stay happy with you as a new gym person. You might not even seem that new to me. If you just come in and get to work, that's what I expect of people, you know? So don't treat it like a social occasion.
Okay.
But the second thing I have there is it is okay to talk sometimes, and that is to ask for help of primarily the people who work at the gym. I mean, I know you're probably pretty familiar with this. If you've got headphones in when you're on a run or something like that,
yes,
it means that you do not want to be interrupted.
Right, correct.
You know, you're wearing those headphones so that people won't talk to you. That's the same way that I work out. If you're at the gym and you're confused about a machine, there's nothing wrong with that.
Come on. You're talking, your audience is Marines, though, on Ulmer and Radio. Come on, who goes to the gym and is confused about a machine?
That's not true, man. Come on, I've been going to the gym for a long time, and every once in a while, I'll go to a new gym, and they have some weird belt-driven table anomaly stacked up in the corner that they call their gym, because it's a hotel, you know? And I'll look at it and go, well, what the hell is this thing? How do I just
if you can't figure it out by looking at the instructions that are pasted to the side of the machine, then don't do the machine. It's obviously beyond your intellectual capacity. Go to the next machine.
That's fair. I'll give you that. However,
thank you.
Bear in mind that Master Marines is an MCI for a reason. Not all Marines are created equally. Sometimes we need a little bit of information and a little bit of guidance.
I agree. You know? But if you can't find that on the side of the machine, then it's over your head. Accept that. Okay? Except just like math for Marines. It doesn't say trigonometry for Marines, okay? It says math.
That's a very good point.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry, I got it. Munchkin's back awake now. But,
thank you. All right.
It's absolutely paramount that if you're going to ask someone for help, ask the type of person for help that'll have an answer for you. And to be honest with you, that guy lifting next to you might be an idiot. Yeah. Even if he looks real jacked and like he knows what he's doing, he very well might not have any clue what's going on. Ask the people who work there. It's their job to help you, and it's their job not to do so in a judgmental way. And best of all, you're not interrupting their workout.
It seems to me that you're pretty focused on the social aspect of this. Are you moderately neurotic when you go to the gym?
I have very specific rules about what I deem to be appropriate for gym behavior, and it's mostly leaving me the hell alone. God's honest truth. When I go to the gym, I go work out like a fight. I'm not in a good mood. I'm not in the mood to be social. I don't want to make new friends. You know, even if you're a lovely person, it's not the place I want to meet you. You know?
Well, you know, if those of us who've been in combat arms and go to gyms and, you know, in our firm bases, on our camps, either in CONUS or outside of CONUS, they're pretty workmanlike places. First of all, there's loud, horrible music on. I don't know where they get it, but it's just awful. Okay, and it's on loud, and I guess cool people like it, but it's just the worst. So you can't really talk a whole lot. And then they're pretty Spartan, and so you go in, right, and you do your workout that you've been doing out probably for years, and then you get the hell out of there. Right? Because most people are...
And that's what I would like to see, aside from the awful music played too loud. That's my favorite style of working out.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's good. The awful music promotes headphone use, which de-emphasizes speaking. And I think that's not a bad thing either.
But now, what do you do, though, when you're that Marine, who's been working out that way for anywhere from 4 to 30 years, you know, and now you finally get out, you hang up your boots,
right,
and you head into your local LA Fitness.
Right.
You know? Now all of a sudden you've got to acclimate to an entirely new...
No, you don't. No, you don't. You ignore them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, but...
Just go about your business. Go about their business, and as my Uncle Jim used to say, nobody's looking at you. Don't worry about it. He'd be walking by you.
That's 100% true.
Right? You'd be combing your hair. My Uncle Jim would be walking by, and he'd look at you and say, nobody's looking at you. Get in a car. Like,
important piece of advice, though, for that Marine.
Yes.
For that guy who's ignoring everybody.
Yes.
You know, for that dude who's been, like, working out in warehouses and quad cons for the last 10 years.
Right.
Here's one of the biggest problems that you're going to have as a new person in a stateside gym. It's half-naked women working out all around you.
Okay.
You need to have the wherewithal to not freaking gawk at them. You know? Now, I know what you're going to say. These are Marines. These are Marines.
Why not? Why would you not gawk at them? By dressing the way they dress, don't they want to be gawked at? Or you're simply doing...
Oh, come on.
You're simply doing a good deed for somebody who wants to be gawked at.
You know very well that's not always the case. Sometimes,
somebody
just wear a pair of pants and a sports bra to get their workout done. The same way I'm just wearing
Just stop it. Okay.
So, right, so
the day you roll into a gym with your comfortable thong on, okay, and I don't know, some other piece of attire, and just say, oh yeah, I just wear this for comfort, and you don't realize the social impact of what you wear, give me a break. Come on, man. I fell off the truck, not this morning. Stop it.
All right, I'll give you this. How about this? They may be socially ignorant enough to not recognize the implications of what they're wearing.
There's
still no reason to, I mean, excuse the phrase, but it's no reason to eye fuck a stranger. You know, go there, get to work.
You just went like, all you're doing is looking. Okay, so somebody sports some kind of scanty wear, okay? You're not propositioning.
Yeah.
You have your headphones in. You're minding your own business. You're moving.
And you're moving from bench. While he's working out.
Yeah, you're moving from bench to incline bench, and as you're putting on plates, you look right. And here's Miss.
I think you may underestimate how conspicuous it is.
Here's Miss.
When you're gawking between sets.
Here's Miss Bikini 2016. Like rolls into the gym. And I'm not supposed to look at her.
Well, you should exercise some self-control, absolutely. I'd expect
I am. I'm not making comments. I'm not going over and asking her for a date. I'm not doing anything. I'm just checking it out. Is there something wrong with that? When did we as a nation stop checking it out? And isn't that...
I would argue that there are some circumstances where checking it out is acceptable.
Yes.
There is a difference, though, and you're not drawing the line between the glancing over and going, hey, what's going on with that? And I picked this curl machine directly across from you so I could stare at you while
Exactly. I would never do that. I have my routine, and it's going to be, and I'm doing it. I am not circumventing my routine to get a better look at your sports bra, okay?
Well, see, that makes you part of the solution rather than the problem.
I like that.
That's what I'm getting at. We need more of that. And less of the, I came here because my Tinder app is kind of tired. That girl's real cute, and I bet you she'll be more into me if I just keep
Come on! Are you kidding me? So, are these, who are you describing? Are these your peers? Are these people you know that they have enough?
Not necessarily people I know, but people I see in the gym on a regular basis, absolutely.
All right. So you're talking about going to the gym, social etiquette, things not to do. And if you've been gone from gyms for a while, they've certainly changed a little bit. And
I would agree with that. I know I'm the worst, man. I mean, when I was younger, and I mean, not that I'm an old man recounting the early days of lifting.
You're gay.
When I was younger,
hey, don't kid yourself, okay? You're no spring chicken. How many kids do you have now?
True. Just the one. God help me.
You're now a father, right? Your house has been attempted to be burned down, so you stand fire watch all night, right? You're married with a child. That makes you a middle-aged man, yes?
Yeah, I would agree with that, absolutely.
All right, so don't... Hey,
you know, in all those years, I've developed a few pet peeves about the gym, and a lot of them really do involve that kind of sense of entitlement, to be honest, that you were demonstrating there, where you're like, well, they shouldn't have worn the damn outfit if they didn't want me to stare at them. Ignore them.
No. They wore the outfit because they want to be stared at. If you don't want to be stared at, put on it.
They might not have, but maybe not from you.
I didn't arrange this rendezvous. I'm just putting plates on the inclined bench because I just got done with bench. I'm putting plates on the Olympic bar, and you walk into my field of vision. Right? What do I do? Avert my eyes?
Here's my rule of thumb.
Come on.
Act like your wife is standing behind you, and that's how your eyes should behave at the gym. Now, if your wife's standing behind you, there's definitely nothing that says you're not going to glance at that girl in a skimpy outfit.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's not going to be a head movement, but there's certainly going to be eye movement.
Now, again, though, we're talking about that as a perfectly normal thing. I would do that if anything walks by.
Thank you.
Whether it was a girl in a tight outfit or a car crash or just...
Right. A guy with a lot of nose hair, you would look.
But the gawkers. The doctors are the problem. They give us all a bad name.
I see. I mean, who notices that? If you go there and you're about your business because you don't want to be a fat ass anymore, okay? That you look down as you shower and you can't see your genitals, okay? If that's you, that's right. You're at the gym to rectify that, okay? Glancing's fine. First of all, don't look at her because she's not in your league anymore, okay? You gotta get rocked up to get it back into that league.
Stay focused until you can get her into your league. First and foremost, back to work.
Eye on the prize, baby. Eye on the prize. So your New Year's writings focus largely on the social aspect of gym behavior?
Well, it has a lot, especially because within the fitness community, especially online, there is a huge anti-New Year's resolution crowd kind of vibe, you know, and I understand it. I've participated in it, you know. I've always said I hate New Year's resolutioners because they come in, they crowd up my gym, they don't put their weights back, they don't know what they're doing, they're asking me questions and interrupting my workout, and I've got to maneuver around a whole new crowd of sheep every January, you know, just to get through my workout. It adds time to how long I'm there working. It adds frustration to the
workout.
So
you're a hater, man. Listen to you. All the hate. Like,
I am
let it go.
A hater.
Let it go.
And that's what I'm trying to work on. I'm trying to stop being a hater, and I'm trying to encourage the other people out there that are just like me to do it too. However, I'm also asking those new people to play their role too. For instance, if I'm going to tell all these old gym rats, stop staring at that girl's ass, I would also say, hey, make sure you dress appropriately for the gym.
You know? To me, that's,
we've all got
to
do our part
yeah.
to make being in the gym a survivable endeavor in January. January's in the gym are rough, man.
I don't know. I don't know. First of all, let's talk some basic stuff. When do you go to the gym? If you go during peak hours and you get these people, if you go non-peak hours, then you tend to see the same core group of people with maybe onesies and twosies. 100%
true.
You know what I mean? So to me, this Max, number one pointer, is?
Don't go during peak hours.
Don't go during peak hours. If you can, and if you have to go during, if you have to go during peak hours, choose the morning relative to the evening. Because only serious.
Yeah, the morning is always empty.
Yeah. It's less full.
You know, you and I both have, we have the benefit of having jobs that offer us a little bit of leeway. You know what I mean?
I just conceded the morning to other people.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'll say this. I 100% agree, go in the morning because I won't be there. You know,
especially since I've had no. In the morning, you only get serious people because. And again, if you tell me, well, I got to take my kids to school at 7, okay, we'll get up at 4:30, get to the gym by 5:15, right? Work out for an hour, come home, take your kids to school, boom.
You know, that brings me to another like huge pet peeve that I've always had about fitness is people who tell me that they don't have time.
Did you sleep? Did you?
All busy.
Did you sleep last night?
About 3 hours. I got some.
Okay.
I got enough that I could have been doing something else.
Then there's no excuse.
You know?
Okay. That, right? Remember the first time you heard that in the Marine Corps?
My God. The first time, the third, the 50th, you know?
the candidate did not have time. Did you sleep last night? Yes, for 90 seconds. Then you had time.
Then you had time.
Right. Yeah.
Especially when it comes to something as simple as fitness, because you don't have to go spend an hour pumping iron to make a positive change in your life. You don't have to run 3 miles or 10 miles to make a positive change
okay,
in your
so
life.
Let's talk about that.
You can make a great change.
Let's talk about that. So fitness should be scalable?
Absolutely. Hear me out.
Yes.
Once upon a time, before we invented the idea of exercise, fitness was just the means by which we survived. You know, fitness and exercise as a concept wasn't developed as an intentional thing that we do just to keep ourselves healthy until our species had come to this point where we were so, like, everything was so much better in terms of standard of living that we had to go out and intentionally pretend to do the things we used to do just to survive in order to maintain our health. We have to go pretend to be hunters. By doing cardio, by doing weight training. We have to go pretend to approximate some of the rigorous standards of our old lifestyle, carrying weights, moving across terrain. We play make-believe now because it's no longer a part of how we live our lives.
Thank God.
But we're wired to work. Yeah, agreed. Thank God. But our bodies are made to work. That's what they're made for. You know, they're made to work for us to help us get through the day, to help us get through the week, the lifetime. So when we go and exercise, well, all we're really doing is playing make-believe. We're pretending to be going back to that hunter-gatherer lifestyle, to that caveman lifestyle, where you had to work physically to survive. It's a make-believe game. And when you think back to, like, that caveman wasn't working his lats specifically on Tuesday to make sure that, like, they pop. He wasn't trying to build his beach muscles. That style of exercise is not going to make you an Instagram model. But it will make you fit.
Well, how did the Greeks, the Greeks and the Romans, you know, they're the ones that set us up for this failure, because were it not for all those naked statues of these ripped men, we wouldn't be idolizing that.
You know, you could be right. You know, that could be the birth of like kind of this idea of the ideal, right?
Right.
Where we aspire for this 0% body fat,
right.
You know, sub 3% body fat,
right.
Which is not a particularly healthy one. You know, and it's cyclical, you know, what we expect out of our culture.
But I'll tell you what, but it doesn't matter because the girl in the very small sports bra, right, in the very tight pants, she's looking for the guy with 3% body fat, and we all know that.
No, it's true. It's true. You know, and you can see it in just the progression of our movies in the last 20 years. In an article recently, I included a picture of Hugh Jackman playing Wolverine in the first X-Men movie, which I think came out in 99 or 2000. And then Hugh Jackman again in one of the more recent Wolverine movies. Now, this guy, when he first played Wolverine, was like, you know, 35. Now he's in his late 40s. And yet, if you look at the picture side by side, he went from looking like a normal dude with a funny haircut to just Jack Diesel, vascular, 1% body fat, veins popping out of him all over the place. And it's a good representation of our expectation of the male physique and how it's shifted culturally. We went through a cycle. Back in the early 80s, we wanted to see Sylvester Stallone's abs. But then we kind of came away from it. We came away from it, and we had guys like Bruce Willis were our action stars. You know, ladies,
yeah, a little bit more normal, but certainly skewed to the fit, masculine guy.
Absolutely. Like a good fit guy, but not necessarily one that you could grade cheese on his midsection.
Yeah.
You know, like more normal. You're right, yeah.
Right.
Now we've transitioned back. You know, now we're moving back towards that unrealistic expectation of male body image.
Yeah, but, you know, again, that's the whole weirdo fantasy superhero doofus young person of today.
You got it, man. And this is one of the reasons why we're seeing a real increase in steroid use in younger people today.
Yeah, God forbid you should go try to work for that.
Absolutely. You know, because people think that they're not in shape, that they haven't accomplished anything, you know, unless they look like Hugh Jackman does. And that one scene in Wolverine where he takes his shirt off, well, I assure you, when you go back and watch like the behind-the-scenes footage, I watched a couple of them. I watched the one from Wolverine, one with Chris Evans, who plays Captain America. You know that scene in one of the more recent Avengers movies where he stops a helicopter from taking off by hanging on to a pipe on one side and the helicopter on the other?
No, I'm not. I'm not familiar with that scene. I'm not an Avenger guy.
That's fair. But in the behind-the-scenes footage, he asks the director if he can shoot the scene with his shirt off. And at first, it kind of reads as, you know, vanity. Like, he's like, you know, the director even asks, why do you want to take your shirt off for this scene? And Chris Evans said, he's like, well, because this morning we wrapped the last scene where I have to have my shirt off, and my stomach's never going to look like this again. You know, because he knows full well, he cut for the last 6 weeks for today's 6 hours of shooting. And now he's not going to look like that guy anymore. Hugh Jackman did the same. The guy who played Tarzan in the recent Tarzan movie started crying on Jimmy Kimmel when they told him that they were going to let him have a cheat day in his diet during the interview. This is the way these guys achieve this physique. It's not realistic. And I think some of us know that. You know, the shelf life on a set of abs like that is about the same as a gallon of milk. You know? But we all hold ourselves accountable to this standard, you know, and that's no.
Yeah, but see, I think part of growing up and maturing as a man is understanding that and understanding what's good for you long term relative to your fitness and rolling around like that and pursuing them. A, you don't have enough time because you got to change diapers, man. Okay. You got to stand fire watch. So while it is noble and great to aspire to that, dog, I simply don't have time. I don't have time to be that guy.
You know,
maybe I used to.
You have the best possible mindset though, because you have to take into account physical fitness. It's a weird thing because when you think fitness, you automatically associate it to health, but that's not necessarily the case. You know, our idea of fit now is an exaggerated ideal. You know. And so if you hold yourself only to that standard where you think you failed unless you achieve that, you're going to affect your mental fitness, your mental health. You know, you're going to get down on yourself. And you need to, you know, in the Marine Corps, we always talked about being combat ready. You know, like it was readiness is a constant issue. Even if you're out of the Marine Corps, you can still take that into account. You need to make sure that you're mentally and physically ready, combat capable. to do whatever it is that you need to do throughout your day. If you're letting yourself go down like just like a spiral of depression because you're not achieving your fitness goals, you're getting the wrong thing out of this. You know, you need to balance your body image, your self-perception, which is something men don't want to talk about. You know, body image issues are just for little girls. You have to balance those internally, you know, because we're not really going to discuss it with anybody, with what you're capable of doing. Push yourself to do better, you know, but also hold yourself to a realistic standard. Hold yourself accountable, but be realistic, you know. Give yourself some credit where it's due.
Okay, so, but I think life provides much of that incentive for most men because you simply can't. You may aspire to do those things, but your life is overcome by events in many ways. Once a child, it can no longer be about you. It's about this little precious thing that is now involved in your life. And it's about supporting and helping your wife who cares for this little thing the majority of your day. And so it is not about you. And fitness now has to be done when you can do it because you have greater responsibilities. So it's all part of growing up, son.
You're totally right. But I would counter with my idea of why I work out has changed.
Oh.
Up until the baby came, maybe up until she was pregnant, but definitely up until the baby came to a certain extent, I was working out with selfish reasoning. You know, I wanted to keep myself in shape. I wanted to look good. I wanted to be capable. I wanted to be able to win a fight if I had to. My ideas of fitness have shifted a little bit now because now, I mean, you know me, I've got garbage knees. When I squat down to the floor, it hurts, you know, to squat down and see my daughter. You know, if I'm crouched over her all night, you know, giving her bottles, my back hurts, man. My idea of fitness now, the reason why I work out, is to not be my dad. You know, my dad was walking with a limp. He looked like my grandfather, never once played catch with me. You know, he just wasn't capable. He was very overweight. You know, he looked like Santa Claus. He had a bunch of health problems. And he didn't even come to a football game, let alone teach me how to play the sport. And I want to make sure I'm not that guy. Yeah. So now my exercise regimen is very much geared towards longevity, keeping myself physically capable of chasing after my little girl. Because by the time she's 10 years old and wants to know how to throw a football, I want to make sure I can teach her. You know?
So fitness is still paramount once the baby gets here. Is all this leading up to an announcement that you've come out of the closet and you bought a yoga mat?
I'll say this, I've tried yoga, but I'm keeping it in the closet with the rest of me, I guess. Because yoga, first of all, no joke, I respect people who do yoga, it's just not for me. I'm not flexible,
I'm not very coordinated. Let me just tell you, if everything you said in the last 4 minutes is true, you are headed into the yoga studio. And let me just tell you this, I saw an interview with the guy who developed P90X, he's a pretty funny dude. Former baseball player and he's a rocked up guy and whatnot. And they said, if there was one thing that you would wish you had learned earlier in your life, what was it? What is it? And he said, I wish I had learned, about yoga and incorporating flexibility into my workouts at a much earlier age. Now I spend probably more time doing yoga than I do actually lifting weights and it's made my life better. And I think he's talking about,
you know, I'm gonna say that. Here's my question to you.
Addressing quality
What's
of
more
life
important
issues.
To you?
Yes.
Is it more important to you that you're physically capable, that you have, you know, a good healthy lifestyle, that you're able to do the things you need to do to take care of your kids, or is it more important to you that you don't want to admit to anybody that you do yoga?
Oh, the prior, without a doubt. I do yoga.
You know, so When you make jokes like, are you going to come out of the closet and say if you're yoga?
I just want to see if you were, I wanted to see if you were man enough to say, yeah, I'll come out of the closet. I do yoga, Matt.
And that is what I want from people. That is what I want. That's awesome. You know, because we need to do away with these stigmas where it's like, I need to make sure I'm the toughest guy in the gym. You know what? I don't give a shit who is in the gym. I don't care if I'm working out with the 1988 version of Macho Man Randy Savage, or if I'm working out with the 1993 version of Carrie Strug, or if I'm working out with the big fat lady that's on the treadmill next to me most days.
Yeah, get over it. Get over it. First of all, let me just tell you, if you want to be the toughest person in a class, go to a yoga class. It's the hummingbird people. Yes, we can do it. All we have to do is try. With the breath, come to center. Exhale. Right? We can do it. Yes.
But you know that.
Who just farted in here? We don't do that. Oh, that's that dude over there. Yeah, and guess what? There's a lot of good-looking women in yoga classes. So it's like,
I will definitely
so you can
that.
Be
and
the.
You know what? When you're, you let's can go back to our don't gawk thing, man. Don't if you go infiltrate, you're the one dude in this yoga class, and you're just staring at asses. You're not doing anybody any benefits. You're not doing anybody any favors. Right, and you can't even say, "Well, they shouldn't have come to this all-woman yoga class."
You're right.
You're right.
No, let me tell you, there's a certain sense of decorum that you have to develop, but you got to get over it. There's great health benefits. First of all, I would tell you the thing that most guys lose as they get older is they lose flexibility. You know, they can still go, they can still bench. Yeah, but they have difficulty with their back in terms of being able to bend over. They have difficulty with their knees and joint issues. So find me something that is good physically for you that is non-impact and promotes your greater health. And
maybe I need to do a bit more yoga because I mean not only am I getting older so I'm losing flexibility, but when you weight train, you know, you really compromise flexibility unless you work at flexibility. And you know, I do my 1970s static stretches, you know, on the living room floor after a workout and before bed.
Right.
I'm sure that there are better stretching exercises out there now that I just haven't come across yet. You know, and it does help, but my flexibility has gone down. I mean, I've never been particularly flexible, but in the last 5 years, I'd say I've lost any bit that I had. You know, I work hard to try to maintain it just because I'm afraid of injury, but I can touch my toes, but I'm going to make some weird noises. You know, when I try.
You know, but again,
so maybe yoga's the answer.
Well, I think it should be a component, and that's not from me. That's from P90X, man, and he's kind of a stud. You know, so if a guy like that looks at his own health and says, yeah, the one thing I wish, you know, that I had incorporated more into my workouts over the years, it would have made my body better than it is now, it would be yoga. And when that guy's saying that, then the rest of all, as much as we might not like it, and I will just tell you, I've done yoga, I've gone to yoga classes on a consistent basis, and trust me, you'll notice a difference. You'll notice a difference in your strength. It will make your lifting better because yoga is about flexibility, and you wind up strengthening all these tendons and all these other things as you stretch them that support your core and other stability things in your body. So I think it's a complementary piece to just lifting weights. So that's just one.
You know, that's a great point to make. It really is because, I mean, when you're fighting, my coaches have always told me that fitness is a three-pronged endeavor. You know, it's strength. It's conditioning, and then the third is flexibility. You know, if you're not flexible, you're much more injury prone than if you were otherwise. You know, just imagine a groin pull and how awful and debilitating a groin pull can be.
Mm-hmm.
And if spending a little while doing some good stretching exercises, not necessarily, this is another good point. Stretching isn't necessarily something that you just do before your workout as a part of your warm up, or maybe post workout as a part of your cool down. You know, first and foremost, pre-workout, you shouldn't do that kind of static stretching I was talking about earlier. You should really do dynamic stretching. So your stretching game needs to change. But stretching is something that you can do on its own, like you're saying, in a yoga class. You know, and you don't have to go to a class if that's not available to you. I did the 30-day yoga challenge, which is my only experience in yoga, but it's why I can say that I feel like it wasn't for me. I tried my best, man. I did it every day for 30 days with my wife. Watching these videos, you know,
right.
It's tough. Right. Yoga is not a joke.
No, it's a lot of pressure on small muscles that most of us haven't developed. And again, that stabilize and promote flexibility. That's why, you know, to me, P90X has a version of it that's a ball buster. It's like 90 minutes of yoga, and you're like, dude, knock it off. How do I stay in this position for that long? But I'm not, I'm not a spokesman for the hummingbird people because they are truly not part of our tribe. And they look at us as you know, as kind of novelties, you know.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, it's like looking into the Grand Canyon. That's how they look at us, like, oh, you people. I've read about people like you. Yeah, that's...
You know, but like you said, it's a great thing to put in the toolbox.
Absolutely.
You know, I have a friend named
Necessary.
George, and he goes by Geo. He was a Delta Force operator for years. I mean, this guy, he's a real American hero, you know. Like, he's got stories that he can't tell you, but the ones that he can tell you are incredible.
Crazy.
And one of the few things that I found out we had in common when we first met is that I used to work for Skip Barber Racing. And it turns out, as one of the many things that they send Delta operators to do, they send them to racing schools to learn better car control techniques, just in case you ever need it, you know? And it turned out he was a graduate of Skip Barber Racing School, and he even took some courses while I was working there, you know? And when I asked him, I was like, well, what benefit does open-wheel racing really have to operational capability? And what he told me was there's no such thing as a bad lesson to learn. You always can incorporate that. You don't know when, you don't know where, you don't know how. But at some point down the road, you might be really happy that you stepped outside your comfort zone and took advantage of an opportunity to learn something different. Yoga could very well be a great example of that.
Yeah, no doubt.
There's nothing wrong with adding it to your toolbox.
Let me read you an email. You two neurotic jackasses need to dial it back. First of all, what is the aim of Old Man Fitness? I would say my aim, which I heard Montana Man articulate on this program months ago, is to be able to take my shirt off and not be embarrassed. So I guess...
That's a good goal.
My question is, what is the aim of Old Man Fitness? Hollings?
No, so here's what it really comes down to. Fitness can mean different things for different people. And my intent isn't to try to convince you that my aim is the best or the only aim that's worth pursuing. You know, again, to equate it to cars, because that's like the industry I worked in other than the military. If you work on cars, like if you're a home mechanic that likes to tune up his car, you know, some guys want to work on their 68 Charger and, you know, and put a Root style supercharger on it with a big blower sticking out of the hood with huge back tires, and they want to make sure everybody knows they're coming. Some other guy might be working on his 2003 M3 and he wants it to be kind of a sleeper. So he shaves the M badges off of it. You know, he puts an exhaust on it that's high flow but isn't necessarily super loud, and he tints the windows and he blacks it out. And then you've got another guy who's just got a Honda Civic with a fart can on it because he doesn't have a ton of money, but he likes to tool around with his car. It's not my place to tell you which one of those is better. I can tell you which one I like more. You know, I like that 68 Charger. But if that guy with the Honda Civic is happy when he goes out and gets in his car in the morning, if he has a little bit of fun zooming through traffic on his way to work, who am I to tell him that that was the wrong goal to pursue? You know, some people want to lose some weight. Some people want to gain some muscle. Some people just want to, like, tone up or maybe become more functionally capable. I'm not going to tell you, like, if your goal is to be able to take your shirt off and not be embarrassed, that's rad. You know, good on you. My goal is that in conjunction with wanting to be able to win a fight. That's always the mindset I employ when I work out, is I try to tailor my workouts to a fight. Just the way I think. You know, another person's goal might very well be just to get their runtime down to sub 5 minutes, and they're doing weight training to help expedite that. You know, your goal can be whatever you want it to be, but the way that you pursue it, the mindset, Old Man Fitness is much more about adopting and maintaining the right kinds of habits, emphasizing discipline over motivation, things like that, more so than it is about telling you, you need to do 5, 8, 3, you need to, you know, do 4 sets of this much weight every Monday, Wednesday, Friday in order to get to what I think is the right fitness, you know, goal. You establish your own fitness goals, and then you're going to need to establish your regimen to do so, because at the end of the day, I can rate you a workout, but you shouldn't do the same workout every time you go and work out, and you absolutely shouldn't do the exact same workout for years on end. Eventually, you're going to need to take those tools and develop your own regimen.
Okay, I've got an email for you. Mac, I'd be curious about thoughts on the structure. So, like Montana Man, got to be able to take your shirt off goal, I choose a goal. I have a weight goal, and I make a quarterly plan that also includes 1 week where I don't lift at all. I'm curious about Alex's thoughts on that kind of structure. There are websites out there that you can use that track calorie intake, track your weight. I use Lance Armstrong's old company, which is still in business under new ownership, Live Strong, and I really enjoy them. It helps me be conscious of my weight and be conscious of what I eat. So I believe there's a certain amount of structure that is useful. I'd be curious about Alex's thoughts on that. So structure, quarterly plan, weight goals, to include rest, your thoughts on that kind of stuff.
I think structure is awesome because structure will help you maintain when motivation fails you. You know, motivation's fleeting. I love motivation. It's awesome. But motivation very rarely survives enemy contact. You know, as soon as the going gets tough, your motivation tends to get going without you, right? Discipline will come from establishing that structure. And discipline gets a bum rap. It's one of my favorite words. It's a great word. Because I can't tell you, I mean, I work out 6 days a week. At least 3 or 4 days a week, I get up and say, oh, there's no way I'm working out today. You know, but it's discipline that gets me down there. It gets me started. And then once I get started, the motivation might come, you know. But some days it never comes at all. You know, so structure can really be your saving grace. You know, you're motivated as hell. I mean, my motivation levels are never higher than at 9 o'clock at night when I know I'm not going to lift from, you know, here until tomorrow. You know, I've got huge plans for tomorrow. But once tomorrow gets there, that's the problem. Because then you just woke up, you're groggy, you know, maybe work is stressing you out today. Your motivation's going to go away. You need to have the discipline to get your butt in there anyway. And that's where structure can really help. Because once you establish a habit through that structure, you're going to start to feel crappy because you didn't work out, as opposed to feeling crappy because you need to, you know? As for breaks, I think that's awesome, man. More power to you that you're able to schedule them. For me, they always come because I wasn't able to get to the gym at all this week because I was traveling or, you know, something with the kid and so forth. Breaks are huge because they'll give you a chance to heal, to recover fully. But also, when you come back from the break, make sure you change your workout up a little bit. You know, keep your body guessing because it'll keep your body improving. You know, but I can't speak highly enough about structure. But you know, for some people it might not be the way. I know a lot of people who just kind of go to the gym for an hour and a half a day, and they don't know what they're going to do until they get there. And you know, and they're in great shape. You know, so to each their own. But if you're asking me, my advice is establish a structure, establish a habit, and let that discipline carry you through where the motivation fails you.
You know, I think that's interesting, Alex, because I do believe that, you know, a lot of times, guys, you just get in the habit of, I'm going to the gym. I have this phrase in my head that I always repeat, just do the work. Don't think about it. Just go get dressed and go. Okay? Because if you think about it, you're going to blow it off. You're going to say, I'll go twice and I'll work out on Saturday.
That's awesome,
but, right?
Just do the work. Don't think about it.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, just do the work. Shut up and go. But I also think that, as you just said, the structure is important and that changing your workout. And I can tell you this, as a guy who's lifting at the age of 60, you do need to change your workout or you will wear out parts of your body. And I'll quote a doctor that looked at me at the age of 45 and told me, you're in better shape than most of the guys here. I was coming back on active duty. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. If you don't begin to listen to your body as you get older, you're going to wind up with arthritis. You're going to wind up crippled. Listen to pain. And I would just say, if you don't migrate your workouts to different lifts that will just tax different muscle groups in a different way, if you don't change that stuff up, you will wear your body out. And then you won't be able to.
It's 100% true. And not just negative reinforcement, though,
right.
But you'll get more gains or more benefits out of approaching the same muscle groups from different ways.
And I'll tell you what, the other thing I think that was sage-like about that email was programming and rest. Because you say, okay, 2 more weeks, man, and I got a whole week off. And your body needs time off. And it's not
Absolutely.
A bad thing to program in it. And then during that week, maybe you sit down and you reevaluate your goals and you do it every quarter and you adjust your weight goal, you adjust your lifting goal. Maybe you do incorporate this quarter. I'm going to try yoga or try every quarter, try something new. I'm going to try cycling. I'm going to try, you know, whatever. you know, whatever floats your boat. But again, I think it's part of keeping the creativity involved and a dynamic element to working out so that you stay with it. So it becomes this vibrant thing in your life, and it becomes a lifelong hobby, not simply something that you kind of drudgingly go through, that you blow off when you don't have the time, but it's something you want to do. So.
You're totally right. And, you know, something that Marines are possibly better suited than most for is operational training. You know, approach your workouts in that same way. If you're worried about security, for instance, you want to make sure that you're not following the exact same routes at the exact same times of day as you're traveling to the exact same locations, because it makes you a higher or an easier to hurt target, right? You know, if you're predictable, then you're easier to target. Use that same mindset when establishing your workouts. If you've been doing the same thing for 4 weeks, it may well be time to switch it up, you know? Even if you're going to change the types of lifts you use or you do with the same equipment. You know, in my case, I work out at home a lot, so I'm kind of limited in what I have. But there are a million ways you can utilize the same equipment. You know, there's apps out there, there's websites devoted entirely to, here's 60 things to do with one kettlebell. You know? And back to the rest thing, I don't know about you, for me especially, if I've taken a week off, sometimes not on purpose, but if I've taken a week off, 2 weeks off, when I come back, I am almost always stronger than I was when I left. And what I don't think it's that I actually gained any strength throughout that week I took off. I think it's just that I recovered fully, you know? Working out is, you know, at the end of the day, especially if you're doing it hard, you're breaking your muscles down so that they'll rebuild themselves stronger. Every once in a while, you got to just let them rebuild themselves all the way before you start tearing them down again. You know, which again is a huge part of why rest is such an important factor in fitness, even when you're not taking that week off. Getting enough sleep, not that any of us do, but getting enough sleep, eating right, will get you further in your fitness game than working real hard for that 1 hour a day ever will. You know, so rest is huge. You know.
Alex Hollings, my guest, for a few more minutes. He of SoftRep, we were going to talk about 2018 and other stuff. We'll bring him back and do that again here in the not too distant future. We've been talking about fitness all morning. Another email, Mac. I'd be curious, both your opinions. What's the most difficult part of fitness as you've both gotten older, Alex? Most difficult
diet.
Part?
Diet. Yeah. Diet's the most difficult part of fitness for me. I love cookies. I'm a stress eater. I love drinking. I'm a stress drinker. You know, the hardest part for me is getting the right kinds of fuel into my body in the right intervals. I'm constantly shooting myself in the foot with the way that I eat. You know, especially now with the baby. You know, just like you said, I'm in fire watch until 3 or 4 a.m. every night. You know, then my wife will come out and she takes post with the baby. Every day, especially now, I tend to not eat during my work hours, and then as soon as those are over, I binge eat for about 2 hours. Then I come on post watching the baby all night, and I just kind of mash food into my face from the 10-minute intervals I can. And I wake up the next day feeling like crap, you know, because I ate a bunch of crappy food before bed. I had one huge meal yesterday that was probably 3,000 calories in one sitting, and I didn't eat at all throughout the day prior, you know. My biggest challenge is diet, and I think for a lot of people it is, because we're hardwired to like things that are calorically dense, number one, but number two, convenience. You know, crappy food tends to be more convenient. Not all the time, but it can be, you know. But the hardest part about it for me is when you're tired, you know, and you don't feel like being the fitness guy right now, and you don't feel like worrying about this stuff right now. It's 2:30 in the morning, and the baby's crying, and you just need to get something in you. So you eat a ho-ho, you know? That's my biggest struggle. And to be honest with you, it probably always will be, until they come up with some scientific way to, you know,
consume,
make calories taste like donuts.
Right, consume massive amount of calories that are garbage and not put on a pound. And, yeah. And I'll tell you what, if you ask my kids, hey, what's a breakfast of champions? They will tell you Mountain Dew and peanut M&Ms. I mean, and
hell yeah.
Where does that come from? That comes from getting out of the shower, grabbing something out of the refrigerator, and a bag of peanut M&Ms, which will get me to whenever in the morning when I can go grab something else. Probably a
Sam. For me, it's a Red Bull and a Slim Jim.
Right, and I think in all of us, the Marine Corps has helped define that for us because of the pace of what we do, the demands, of the job, and so you ate around that, and it promoted, you know, I would dare I say, unhealthy eating. Now that might be a cop out, but it's my cop out, and I'm sticking to it. I would absolutely agree with Alex. Your body changes as you get older. Food becomes your enemy, and the problem is there's so much good food out there. There, you go to the store and there's all these great tasting things, and that's before you even walk into the deli or the bakery or you walk towards the butcher shop. I mean, it's just so much good food that is screaming, eat me, eat me, eat me. And food becomes your enemy, really. And you don't look at it as your enemy.
And it's not just that you like the way it tastes. It's that your body is trained. I mean, just like going, again, back to the hunter-gatherer lifestyle. Like, a carbohydrate-rich, calorically-dense, sweet-tasting thing was a jackpot scenario for the first 100,000 years that humans were on this earth.
Right, right.
You know? So now, I mean, now you can get that in every gas station, grocery store, you know, fast food chain. You don't even have to get out of your car. They'll throw it at you in a bag through the window of your car as you drive by. And we're hardwired to crave it, you know, because once upon a time, that might be our only calorically dense meal of the day, or maybe the week, God help us. You know, have you ever heard of protein sickness that survivors sometimes get because they've been surviving off of only rabbits?
Right.
It's an issue where rabbits are a great source of protein, but very little of anything else. So when you're in a survival situation and you've been hunting rabbits because it's one of the only food sources around, you still end up starving to death despite having plenty to eat because it's only protein, you know? Our bodies want carbohydrates. Our bodies want these dense, calorically dense foods for survival. But when you have ready access to it all the time, you can't flip that switch back off. You know, you can't tell your body, oh, no, trust me, buddy, my camel hump's doing fine. We're going to be okay. Your body's going to keep telling you, eat more Cheetos. Get another cheeseburger. Eat until you're sick. Because you don't know when the next time you could, as far as it's concerned. You know, so, again, it comes back to discipline. You know, mine is wavering, as of late especially, but it's much easier for me to maintain workout discipline than it is for me to maintain diet discipline.
And I would offer you this, though. If get to your target weight, and when you get to your target weight, you can cheat. You can cheat.
Absolutely.
And there's a few, and so suck it up, and whatever you have to do to lose weight, do it, and get to your target weight. And then,
oh, you make a great point, man. Cheating is important.
It is important.
It's just as important as rest.
It's a reward, honestly, that you can go and you can have a little bit of this. There's a few skills that you have to master. One is, as soon as you feel full, stop eating. As soon as your brain says, God, I'm kinda, don't even let them finish, your brain finish, just stop eating. And you can eat a large, I think you can eat most of what you used to eat. Just don't eat the quantities
Absolutely,
you used
man.
To eat it in. But once you get to your target weight, then you should reward yourself. And all that, I don't think enough of us, we work out, we don't make it enough of a hobby. And I think those quarterly schedules, I don't do them, I'm going to start, right? Tracking your weight on a daily basis, it just makes you conscious of what you eat. If you don't get on the scale, that's how you get on the scale one day and go, holy shit, man. No wonder those pants don't
fit. And it's happened to all of us. Lord knows it's happened to me.
Things
have gotten out of hand.
It's not the dryer that's shrinking my pants more, right? It's my fat ass.
Absolutely. you're totally right about the cheating too, because I mean, I've said this to people a million times. If you tell yourself you're never going to eat a piece of cake again.
Yeah, come on.
I give
man.
You 2 weeks before you say fuck it and eat an entire cake. However, if you tell yourself, I'm going to let myself have a slice of cake every once in a while, you'll probably go a month without it. You know, it's just the way that we're hardwired. I want what I say I can't have. If you tell me that I can't do something, I'm going to think about it. You know, my wife quit smoking when she found out she was pregnant. And for her and I started early on by asking her how she was doing and trying to be encouraging and asking if I could help. And eventually she was like, listen, I'm much better off with you not fucking mentioning cigarettes to me. Every time you tell me, or you ask me how I'm doing, I'm reminded that I can't have one, and I want one that much more.
Right.
You know, give yourself cheat days. Give yourself cheat meals, maybe, to start, and then cheat days. But, you know, Dwayne Johnson, who's, I mean, how old is he now? 47? And is just a, he's an anomaly. He's a physical anomaly. But he's got legendary cheat days where he'll order six pizzas and a wedding cake, you know, and you can't fit that much food in you, but, you know, it's a psychological benefit for him where he feels like, I can do whatever I want today. Give yourself those allowances from time to time because it'll help you. Just like you were saying, if you take that week off once a quarter, you can go, I've only got a little bit further to make before I can do this, you know, before I can do that. And short-term goals, you know, five-meter targets, are a great way to keep you on track. You know, I'm a huge believer. Cheat days are awesome. Unfortunately for me, I've been putting too many of them in a row, you know. But I agree completely.
All right. Alex Hollings has been our guest, former sergeant, United States Marine Corps. We've been having a pretty interesting discussion about fitness. Alex, first of all, tell everybody where they can find your work.
Absolutely. You can find me on softrup.com. If you're looking for just my writing, you can find that at softrup.com/author/Alex Hollings. But, you know, I encourage you to read everybody's work. There's lots of great contributors on there. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/Alex Hollings Writer. And you can find me on Twitter at AlexHollings52.
All right, bud. First of all, continued good luck with the baby and your new life. Give your wife our best, and I'll give you a call, and we'll talk your predictions for 2018 here in a couple weeks.
You got it, brother. Again, sorry about missing your first call.
No, come on, man. We're hey, All Marine Radio. We roll with that. Have a good one.
Hey, have a good one, man.
There you have it. The one and only Alex Hollings here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio. Don't touch that dial. Hopefully, the Gunner joins us next here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do. And I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global Stock Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the stock community should be aware of.
The Global Stock Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.